What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I am Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 354. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about stress ulcer prophylaxis in the ICU and answer the drug information question, how long is the duration of chest wall rigidity from fentanyl? I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode354. The article for this episode is titled Pantoprazole in Patients at Risk for Gastrointestinal Bleeding in the ICU. The lead author is Mehdi Crag, and this was published in New England Journal of Medicine, December 2018. This is the publication of the SUP-ICU trial that we have been waiting for since it was discussed on episode 144. The authors sought to clearly outline the benefits and risks of prophylaxis for GI stress ulceration with pantoprazole. The trial took place across multiple European ICUs. Adults who were admitted to the ICU and judged to be at high risk of GI bleeding were randomly assigned to receive 40 milligrams of IV pantoprazole or placebo daily during the ICU stay. The primary outcome was death within 90 days after randomization. Over 3,200 patients were enrolled. 1,645 were randomly assigned to the pantoprazole group and 1,653 to the placebo group. At 90 days, 31.1% of patients in the pantoprazole group and 30.4% of patients in the placebo group had died, with a p-value of 0.76, indicating no statistical difference in mortality between groups. During the ICU stay, at least one clinically important event, which was defined as a composite of clinically important GI bleeding, pneumonia, C. diff infection, or myocardial ischemia, occurred in 21.9% of patients assigned to pantoprazole and 22.6% of those assigned to placebo. This difference was not statistically significant. In the pantoprazole group, 2.5% of the patients had clinically important GI bleeding as compared with 4.2% in the placebo group for a relative risk of 0.58. The number of patients with infections or serious adverse reactions and the percentage of days alive without life support within 90 days was similar between the two groups. The authors concluded, among adult patients in the ICU who are at risk for GI bleeding, mortality at 90 days and the number of clinically important events were similar in those assigned to pantoprazole and those assigned placebo. These results are similar to those obtained in a recent network meta-analysis in which no significant differences were found in the rates of death or infectious complications between patients receiving placebo or no prophylaxis and those receiving proton pump inhibitors. One important thing to balance is the risk of adverse events with potential benefits. There was no increase in the risk of pneumonia or C. diff with the pantoprazole group in this study. Although the reduction in GI bleeding did not translate to a reduction in mortality, it can still be considered a clinically relevant difference. Treating a GI bleed is costly and can use scarce resources such as blood products. Treating 58 patients with pantoprazole to prevent one GI bleed is a very cost-effective thing to do now that IV pantoprazole is generic and the chance of an adverse event is the same as placebo, according to the study. Pending the publication of clinical guidelines for stress ulcer prophylaxis, the inclusion criteria from this study can be reasonably used to determine which ICU patients would benefit from IV pantoprazole to reduce the risk of GI bleeding. And the inclusion criteria was one or more of the following patient factors: shock, which was defined as continuous infusion with vasopressors or inotropes, a systolic blood pressure less than 90, or a MAP less than 70, or a lactate greater than 4, acute or chronic, intermittent or continuous renal replacement therapy, invasive mechanical ventilation expected to last more than 24 hours, coagulopathy, which was defined as platelets less than 50,000, or an INR greater than 1.5, or a prothrombin time greater than 20 that was documented within the last 24 hours, ongoing treatment with anticoagulant drugs, prophylaxis doses are excluded from this criteria. History of coagulopathy within 6 months prior to admission, and history of chronic liver disease, which is portal hypertension, cirrhosis proven by biopsy or CT scan or ultrasound, history of variceal bleeding or hepatic encephalopathy in the past medical history. And the drug information question for this episode is, how long is the duration of chest wall rigidity from fentanyl? We've all read the warning on fentanyl about how rapid infusion of high doses can lead to chest wall rigidity. This is a rare side effect of fentanyl that's largely eliminated by avoiding rapid infusion. What we know about how long it lasts come mainly from a study in otherwise healthy volunteers. Of 12 healthy adult males who were given IV fentanyl at a rate of 150 mics per minute until a total of 15 mics per kilo had been administered, half developed chest wall rigidity. When rigidity occurred, it started at the 3-minute mark with a range of 1 to 4 minutes after the peak plasma fentanyl concentration and lasted for an average of 11.5 minutes, the range being 7 to 23 minutes. Although none of these healthy volunteers required intubation, chest wall rigidity from fentanyl in critically ill patients has the potential to cause hypoxia and require intubation. To get a copy of my 6 best tips for pharmacists responding to inpatient medical emergencies, go to my free download area at pharmacyjoe.com/free. It's number 16 on the list. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.